Hello and welcome to series two of How's Your Week Been, the podcast where we get super, super interesting people from the business world, ask them about their previous week, their hobbies, their life, their business, generally chat, and we'll cover things off like Whibcoin, things they can't live without, cheeky little quiz at the end, and generally just have a great time. I wanted to make sure that I could get probably one of the most inspiring and motivating people that I've ever met, I think in my life, who I'm lucky enough to actually spend each week with. And it's my business coach, life coach, all-round guru, the person who makes sure I don't have a breakdown every single day. It is Gavin Mullally.
What an introduction. Now, it's only going to go downhill from here, isn't it?
One way for it to go, mate. Build it up, and then you're going to talk for like half an hour, 40 minutes, and then everyone's going to be like, no.
This is it. There's probably people listening to this thinking there's too many Midlands accents already. Like, can we get some Southerners or Northerners?
You're all right, kid.
So, absolute pleasure having you on, mate. I built you up because it's true how I feel about those things that I said about you. I'm not going to say them again. But usually what we do with the guests, we have a bit of a jingle.
Yeah.
But Dan always did the jingles and he did them really well. So we haven't got one for you.
What about Simply the Best? That would meet with that intro, wouldn't
it? Yeah, it would meet with that intro. So what I was going to do...
Okay.
I've just realised, Jamie, I keep clicking that pen, which I'm going to put down. I was just going to do one on the off the cuff for you.
Go on.
Actually, Jamie said do one, so I'll do one now. It's Gavin. It's Gav Mullally. It's Gavin. Gav Mullally. He's the best.
Bit more.
Yeah, that's it. No, it worked. That was it.
Thank you.
So, thanks for coming on, mate.
Yeah.
I really appreciate it. And I guess I wanted to just give you the opportunity to give you a little bit of a, you know, have your little couple of minutes to explain who the hell you are, what you do.
You know, it's interesting because having a label is not, I suppose we all have a label, don't we, in one way, shape or form. But I don't really like the idea of just being like one thing or being a, you know, put down to this is who you are and this is what you do. And the only reason I've realized that I don't like that is because I was thinking about coming and doing this podcast. So it's been quite insightful already in terms of thinking, okay, I'm a business coach. Like as soon as somebody says to me, oh, you're a life coach, I instinctively want to say, no, I'm not a life coach. I'm a performance coach. And then I want to talk about, okay, I'm not a performance coach. I help people achieve what they want to achieve. So I think trying to coin it into what do I do is very difficult in the sense that I don't want to be a particular label. That being said,
just give us something, mate.
Sorry. That being said, I help people to realize their full potential. And whether that be within their business life, whether that be within their personal life, whether it be finances, whatever it might be, I guide people towards achieving their full potential. And it's something that I absolutely love doing. You know, the whole thing about do what you love and then you'll never work a day in your life, this is better than that because it's helping other people achieve what they can achieve, what their full potential, which is just massive. The reward I get out of every day of seeing people's growth is... And I'm not going to do it for free, Lee, but I would do it for free. It is literally, it's like getting you know, at school, and we were talking earlier about school races, you know, like when you win on sports day and you get that feeling, I don't think there's anything throughout your life that ever quite feels the same about winning a school race. It's like that every single day because you see people win, you see the journeys that people go through, you see the challenges that they have, and you're just part, even though it's a really small part, you're part of them growing and getting better. So yeah, that's what I do and I love it.
And you also run own business and multiple businesses.
The main focus is a social enterprise, which focuses on providing houses for homeless people. And this is my absolute passion. So if I can make a difference in people's lives and effectively run an effective business out of it that's in a sustainable way, then that's what I'd want to do. And when we came across the problem of homelessness, and it's a massive problem, so many people are touching. When I say what I do, people go, wow, that's amazing. But it's because so many people are affected by it that they think it's amazing. So this is a real way. And you know, without, I suppose, talking too much about the numbers, but in the last 18 months, we've delivered 75 properties which house homeless families in Coventry. And this is the tip of the iceberg in terms of the difference that we can make. So we're just on the lookout, really, for councils, charities that wanna get involved and make a difference. And that started... Well, it started 18 months ago, so it's been a real journey. We've got other things that we do as well, but they're more on the fringes and just starting off. And obviously, I'm involved. I'm very, very glad to be involved with on the tools as well, which is great.
Yeah, so context, Gav's done a lot of leadership training with us internally, and he's my coach, he's Ad's coach, he's now Andy's coach. He's trying to do the whole set.
Yeah, absolutely.
Which I think is great, keeps us aligned, but equally allows us to sort of, go down our own tracks and work on what we want as well. But so what's the name of the business, Gav?
Cornerstone Partnership.
Cool. Okay, so that's Gav. That's a little bit of an intro to Gav. Not labelled as one thing, but many. What is, Gav? I'm going straight in now. Is the one thing that you cannot live without?
That's a really. I mean, I don't.
In your working week. Come on about here. So like, not, you know, remove the obvious things of like, you know, your children and your family, wife, and your parents, things like that, and friends. But in your business week, is there something that you just, if I was to go, I'm taking that now, that you'd be like, oh, hang on.
I'm mad on my diary, like, and I'm not talking a written diary, as in my actual diary on the computer, just because the way I organize my day week is I chunk everything, so everything has a slot in there. So I'm literally, from the moment I wake up through to even in the evening, I put things in my diary. So when you take away my diary, like if my phone dies or anything like that, I'll become like you know, as if you took all my bones out. Like just literally this like jelly mass of like, what am I doing next. This is the pain and pleasure of being organized, is as soon as you've got a structure, if you remove that structure, it is literally like removing your skeleton. So that would be the business tool that I use most frequently. And you know, it's so, I know it's the simplest of tools, but it's the thing that you can actually deliver the most benefit. Because if you want to plan ahead and you want to make things happen, I'll make things happen by putting them in my diary. In fact, it's interesting. And when I was thinking about some, Jamie asked me to think of some embarrassing stories for you. So I was trying to think about some things. And I thought one of the things that struck me as quite interesting actually was the how we got back in touch. So we sort of didn't speak to each other for quite a long time.
Yeah, we fell out. We had a big, real big fight in the middle of the street.
Yeah, fisticuffs.
No, we didn't.
No, really. We didn't. That would have been really fun. Touch.
Life got in the way.
And I sat down one New Year's, as you do, whole New Year's goals thing, and wrote down some people. I was thinking through all the different areas of my life and planning for how would I improve my life if I was going to. And one of those areas was sort of friends and connections. And I wrote down three people's names that I'd love to get back in touch with. And then I thought of people I wouldn't, and you were on there now.
And then I checked those three people and I couldn't get them. And then I checked another three and I got to you.
Yeah, eventually I come really far down this. And you were one of those people. And so I made it a mission, I planned it. But the only reason I planned it is because I put it in my diary. So literally I put into my diary the make contact with Lee, and then carried on doing it until you'd actually responded.
Yeah, blanked him a few times.
Yeah, you did. Really. No, it was LinkedIn stalked you until you finally got back. So yeah, the diary is the tool for me.
Cool. What do you think? So being a performance coach or a person who gives people the tools and advice and support to sort of grow or better themselves, or, you know, I forgot the articulate wording that you used earlier. What makes someone be able to do that? Like, what has your past been like in order to get to that point? What have you had to do in order to be able to be in a position where one, you can feel that you can do that,
yeah,
and feel confident enough that you're not like blagging it?
Yeah. That's a really good question.
And then two, what have you actually had to like what's the sort of skill set in terms of like being able to do that? You know, if you, do you go on a performance coach 1 week crash course and then you're out the other end of it like your driving test? You know, what's
that
the,
would be nice.
Would
no,
be good, wouldn't it?
There's a lot more to it, and I think this is one of the reasons when it comes to coaching that when I first start in any coaching relationship with somebody, I talk about credibility and I talk about my actual qualifications and background and experience. Because if you were going to, thinking on the tradespeople side, from the on the tools point of view, if you was going to hire an electrician, you'd want to know that they're qualified and that they can do what they're going to do, because you're employing them to do a specific job. So straight away I'll go into, this is my qualification, this is my experience, to try and give people the sense that, okay, I can work with this person. So I did a master's level qualification with the Institute of Leadership Management in executive coaching and mentoring. And it was quite an involved process, actually. So you think of doing a course, or you do. In fact, ironically, and I think you know this, I'm a qualified electrician as well.
Yeah, yeah.
Because it was quicker to qualify to be an electrician than it was to be a coach, significantly quicker. And so it gives you some sort of measure of the type of depth of commitment that goes into becoming a qualified life coach or business coach. And so that was over a 12-month period, time in uni, and also a huge amount of sort of supervised coaching. So imagine our coaching sessions, which you can do because we do it frequently. Imagine somebody sitting there watching. And I know you've done it before, Jamie, so, you know, every time it's difficult, it's challenging. And then imagine after I've done that, they sit there and effectively critique me.
Yeah.
So there's quite a lot to it in terms of if you want to go down that qualified route, which I'd recommend anybody who's going to go out and get a coach, is that something that they look for. The other thing is chemistry. And I know we again, when we first sit down with people, we talk about chemistry. You need to be able to work with that person. You need to be confident that you're on the same type of wavelength. If you're not, I would recommend don't work together. Because if you're sitting there with a coach and you're thinking, there's no way this person can relate to me. And I'm not talking about experience, because the difference between coaching and mentoring is I can coach you, but my social media experience is limited. Whereas I can, so I can't mentor you.
Yeah.
So if you're looking for a mentor, don't come to me who runs a social enterprise housing homeless people. But if you want to coach, absolutely, I can do that, because that's about having empathy, so listening skills, and it's about being able to really concentrate on the individual. So when you're talking about the first part, which is what are the skill set that you need, is absolutely parking whatever is on your mind at that time. So my agenda, when you sit in front of me, goes out the window. I'm no longer Gavin with all the things going on in my life. I'm purely immersed in whatever is going on in your life. So what that looks like in reality, I don't think we ever spoke about this, is I have like a preparation for our coaching sessions where I go back and I review all of the notes that we've made from the previous session. As you know, we make a lot of notes and a lot of discussion boards. I think about the actions, and then I look more holistically then. I look at your overall journey and where you're at and what things might be going on. As much as possible, I try and get a gauge on the context of what's happening. It's easy with you because you've got a media presence, so I can track what's been going on. So I'm fully equipped then to be able to support you with whatever else might be going on in your life. And then after the session, same thing. It'll be that download preparation for the next session. So there's a lot of work around the outside that comes to it. But the parking the piece and the listening piece is a skill that you absolutely need as a coach, because you're tying up threads. You never know what it might be. We might have an agenda. I might have done all that prep work. We sit down and you go,
and I go, this is...
Don't want to talk about that. Want to talk about this.
I think it's happened a few times.
Yeah, lots of times. And the nature of on the tools and the growth that you've had and all of the amazing things that you're experiencing and are happening all the time mean that, of course, things are going to be on your mind. Of course, things are going to come from, you know, left field.
And what about the confidence bit then? Because for me, you know, it's like anything, isn't it? But you get to, who was your, I don't know whether you would even be able to tell me this or not, but who was the first person you coached, as in like, not necessarily when you was training,
yes,
but like once you'd sort of left that and like.
It was, I wouldn't want to share the name because it was within an employer. So okay. it was my initial coaching was working for an employer. So in a coaching role within an employer. Okay. But yeah.
And what was that like? You know, like you're stepping in. I know, and look, it's like starting a new job, I guess, isn't it? But I feel like, and this, I guess this is my view of it, because I really see the value of having a coach.
Yeah.
But then I understand as well how involved you are with it, and the, and almost the responsibility is probably the wrong, but yeah, like how bought in you are and the accountability that you have as well in order to make sure that, you know,
and then
you add that, I guess it's like a pressure, isn't it? Of like, I've got to make sure that I'm giving out the right coaching advice here, you know? And
yeah,
when you started that, were you like, did you have the like imposter syndrome? Did you think, shit, like
100%?
There's other people doing it. So particularly, you started with an employer doing coaching. Was there other coaches?
Oh yeah, there were.
So
other
then
coaches.
You're like, oh man, what, you know?
You totally think it, and for the first time you sit down, you are. And my nature is to be as prepared as possible, which is why I think we were talking just before we started the podcast about it's very unusual for me not to be very prepared. So for you to be sitting there with a piece of paper
and me not
have any piece of paper is really uncomfortable. So
I love the power of it.
I know, it's horrible.
It's like role reversal.
Literally, my preparation was immense to try and offset some of that, like, oh, okay, these are all the different angles. But the problem is with coaching is if you go in too structured, which is what I used to do, then you're trying to steer people down a particular route, and that you can't allow it to happen. You've got to be open. You've got to have that awareness, like that peripheral vision. You know, like if you sort of try and look behind you and you know, just taking it all at once, it's really hard to do. It's what coaching's like. So when I first went into it, I was like, you know, this was my what I was looking through. I was just trying to get everything through this because it was my plan. So it was immensely scary to start with, but it's like anything, everything's hard before it's easy. You start with that, and I don't like the concept of fake it till you make it. I think you have to own it and say to people, I'm brand new at this. If there's anything you don't like, just give me the feedback. And it's things, and I literally did that. I literally said, I'd love some feedback afterwards about how you thought the coaching went. In fact, I'm remembering as soon as you say that, I remember the very first session I did, as part of the supervised coaching, and the first, because there was an element of unsupervised coaching you did as part of the course as well. And I remember having that conversation and saying, I've actually probably still got the notes now of what feedback, I had feedback forms which I produced to get feedback from people. And that was the first thing I did. And I kept that going as I carried on into coaching professionally, was to say, is there anything you would change? And I think if you remember going back to when we first started coaching, that was, but if there's anything you didn't like about the way we did it, we can change it.
But it's, you know, again, for anyone listening, the benefit of having a coach, I'm doing like a sales pitch for you now, but
no, not for me. Just generally.
Well, I was about to, but yeah. I won't if you want. Basically, go to a different coach other than Gav. No, but it is that the benefit of having it, and I, and for me, it's got us to a point now where, like me and Ad, in particular, really want to make sure we get a coach within the business.
Yeah.
Now, I actually think that could be Ad in the future. Mm. I think he's got the geezer is just firing at the minute, and I think he's got a real love for seeing a lot of his team now grow. And I know he's adopted a lot of things he's been doing with you. And I don't think I could be a coach, right? Mm. I think that I can make things happen. I don't know whether I'd enjoy it or I'd enjoy it. Maybe in the future, maybe I'll take that approach. But I know that I can see it in him. I can see he's got that approach to being able to really, really want to like kick other people on. And I think the more people we have like that in the business that understand coaching, have seen the benefit from it, and that want to pass it on.
Mm.
Like I always want to pass it on. I just don't know whether I'll be able to do it as a consistent thing. But I think that there's a thing to business and like the growth of business, and you know, whether this be an entrepreneur or whether it just be your senior team, but having that level of like of coaching that most people have bought into, I think can have that effect through the business, that sort of waterfall effect through the business that we're seeing it now. You know, we're going through like leadership stuff that we're trying to like pull into manuals and bring it through as an on the tool sort of leadership program that we can bring people on. And a big part of that will be the follow-up and the coaching. And I think it just drives that growth mindset. It really filters through the business where you wouldn't expect it to, and people latch onto it where you think, oh gosh, I can't believe that person's so into thinking about how they might you know, whether it be their personal well-being or whether it just be that they really want to focus on making sure they want to get, you know, higher up within the business or just improve on a certain thing they're doing. I think it's, I would urge any business to look at trying to get some of their senior team coaching, or I think just the level of focus and happiness it brings people of being able to really differentiate between what they're doing on a daily basis and if they're, and actually even just pulling out the things that they don't even realise they're necessarily unhappy about. Do you know what I mean? That ability to have a conversation with people over a period of time and then go, that's the thing that's bothering me and I didn't even know it. Because I don't think enough people who sits and has those conversations with people, really, maybe with your partners, I think, probably, depending on what relationship you've got.
I mean, you'd have to have a pretty exceptional relationship to have the type of conversations we have in coaching. Because,
I guess, yeah.
Because there's always agendas at play, and not in a negative way, not in a sinister way.
But emotions, isn't it?
But emotions, and also, you know, people want to get across their point. How often do you have a conversation, even with a friend, where you can truly suspend their agenda for even a minute?
Yeah.
And the sole focus becomes you. And investment is so important. You know, if it's investing in wealth and growing wealth, then what do? You take something and you put it away and you invest it in it. Investing in yourself is the best investment you can make. And that's what I say to everybody. If I can give people any one piece of advice, and there's a ton of it out there on social media and the internet anyway about investing in yourself, but just do it. Put aside some money, no matter what your financial situation is, and invest in yourself. Even if that is, I'm going to buy a book once a month. You can go to a secondhand bookshop and buy. There's a book you're familiar with, Lee, called 1 Minute Manager. And I bought a secondhand copy of that for 50p from a National Trust bookshop. So if you can get that, and I'm talking as a manager, as a leader, this is one of the pivotal books you can do, and you can buy it for 50p. So invest 50p in yourself and start to change the way you do things. Yeah. It only starts with that investment. And I see, and of course I would say this, wouldn't I, because I'm a coach, but I see this as the epitome of how you get to that next level. So if you're experiencing any block in any part of your life, and you want to get to the next level on it, and the things you're trying don't work, then give coaching a go. I've got two coaches. So, you know,
greedy.
I know, but the thing is,
I'm going to get two.
Yeah. No, you're not. But you can't talk about it. And the reason is, I have like supervision, which is effectively making sure that I'm following the ethical guidelines of being a coach. And then the coaching I have is on building a business, and then property, because obviously a lot of what we do is in property. So those two coaches bring me a perspective that I can't get myself. There's nobody else in my circle that will give me the mirror and the challenge that I need to bring me to the next level. And you know, this is the, if you're looking at yourself and you're trying to, if you're strategic about your own development, then you can't do it all yourself, because we can't talk about Johari's window because we need to draw it. But if you're familiar with the model of Johari's window, Google it if you're not sure, then there's all this part of yourself. You know, when you go to the hairdressers?
I do.
Yeah. And you know, when you have your hair cut, what do they do at the end?
They show you the mirror.
And what do they show you in the mirror?
Back of your head.
Why do they show you the back of the head?
Because you can't see
exactly.
It.
Exactly. So, and that's what coaching's about, is it's about looking all around yourself and the bits that you can't see. And even if you think you can see them, it's about representing how big a deal that is to you. Because you might talk about it again and again and again. And we've done this before. We've picked up words that you're using. And then at the end, I've gone, you've said that like 25 times. And you've gone, oh, what? I didn't say that. And just you know, just negative words or whatever that might be.
Yeah.
That you wouldn't even realise. And that's the benefit of coaching, is you're suspending for that period of time, whether it's an hour, 2 hours, whatever the period of time is, you're suspending everything else about anybody else and just focusing on you.
I always remember one of the things, because I had a real issue, I think, for quite a long time about having a PA.
Yes.
Yeah. And I couldn't get past it. Didn't really. And then, you know, I didn't really sort of have a gap where I didn't have one. And when I did have one, and then I wasn't really sort of like getting them to do the right things necessarily that were going to support me, because I was always a bit like, oh, I can't do that. I can't ask that of someone. I can do that myself. And I always remember you saying to me, like, what are you actually trying to be? And my answer was, like, one of the best CEOs ever to have existed. And you were like, so relate that back to Usain Bolt, right? You think Usain Bolt just wakes up, takes himself down to the track, gets himself into the stadium, buys his trainers on the way, bends down, gun goes off, runs to the end, job done.
Yeah, but he tries really hard.
Yeah. But it's not. And you were like, he's got a dietitian, he's got coaches, he's got, you know, physicians, you know, all these people that actually, when you get to the thing, that bit where he's about, where the trigger's about to go, he's had like 10, 15 people helping him get there.
Yeah.
And it's that exact, and I've like hung my hat on that now, being like, I've got to make sure that I've got the right support if I'm gonna do it properly. I think it's a big thing for people to realise that when you're really trying to grow a business, and you just cannot do it on your own. It's just a fact. Like, there's just no, it's impossible. But so then, Gav, we're gonna cut this now and get you straight into a quick fire questions. This is your opportunity to earn some whip coins.
Wow.
New cryptocurrency. Last year, the winner received an On the Tools hoodie. Can you believe
always,
it?
Always wanted it On the Tools.
Have you not got one?
I haven't. It's actually a shocker, so many times.
Well, you can't get one until you win. Oh. So we've got how many episodes in this series, Jamie? 10 to 12. Did we say 12? I think we agreed 12. So 12 episodes. We'll have 12 guests. You need to try and be at the top of the table by the end of it. Number one, what is your biggest pet peeve? Gav Mullally.
When somebody has cereals and they don't put water in the bowl and they go really hard and then you can't wash them off, you know, like Shreddies or Weetabix.
Oh,
you eat your Weetabix and then like they've left and they go dry, and I don't care, like no substance known to man can remove.
I had to do it the other morning, Mikhail. Did you put the water in? And it was Cocoa Pops.
Oh, Cocoa Pops are like, well, you wouldn't expect them to be so bad.
They're well difficult. That I was scrubbing it, I reckon, for about 15 minutes. Yeah. And then there was one little bit and I was like, oh man, this is killing me.
And then you put it in the dishwasher, it does nothing.
Good,
and
I don't have a dishwasher, but I'm the dishwasher.
Outsource.
Yeah.
Get a dishwasher.
Number two, one person you haven't met but would love to.
Tony Robbins.
Oh, I know how much you would love to meet Tony Robbins.
I would love to shake his massive hands.
His hands, the geezer's a unit, isn't he?
Yeah, he's unbelievable. He's just so inspirational. And if you cut him open, nobody would ever do that, but if you did, he would be Tony Robbins all the way through. So I went to an Ant Middleton talk not so long back, and he talked about know yourself. And this guy just knows himself inside out, like every element of what he does. Everything he does, he's focused on how he can improve other people, how he can make himself better at improving other people. Like, what a person.
Yeah, I've started doing his like 10 minute, what does he call it?
15 minutes to freedom or the power.
Yeah, it's like a 10-minute like rising thing, meditation. Yeah. It's good. A live one, I like it.
Yeah.
Gets me pumped. He makes you do a noise at the end of it. You just have to scream a noise. So do that bit outside.
Has anybody ever done that? Like, I mean, I'm asking a question to a podcast, so nobody's going to answer, but I would seriously recommend.
It's what Kel does it on the way to work in the car.
Yeah.
It's and she loves it. Honestly, like full ball, like really letting it go and screaming.
And do it in the car.
Like a positive.
Yeah, just literally. I don't know if that's too loud. Sorry,
it's good. It's amazing. Definitely too loud. Yeah. Number three, if you could invent a food, what would it be?
It would be a really good.
It could have already been invented, but
no, it's going to be a really good vegan cheese.
Yeah, right. Standard. That's fair enough. We can move on. Number four, what is the best movie ever?
Pursuit of Happiness.
Oh wow, I'm not expecting you to say Will Smith
because it's got a
Rubik's.
It's just like a really positive, powerful story of people going through hard times but coming out the other end and making a difference, like to themselves and others. It's just like spreads like a real positive message, and Will Smith is awesome.
I love Will Smith. I love Brad Pitt as well. I've got a lot of time for Brad Pitt. I watched Snatch the other night again. I'm just like,
he's such a good actor.
Oh, he's so good. That was a really good answer for a performance life coach, business coach to give Pursuit of Happiness.
Because it's my favourite.
Yeah, really good. Number five, you can only smell one thing for the rest of your life. What would it be?
Cut grass.
What a great answer. It's a good smell.
It's just fresh. It's like summer. It's, you know.
Cut grass.
It's very vegan.
Yeah, it is, isn't it? It is. Good. Well done, mate. They were.
Thank you.
They were good. So your biggest pet peeve was that I'm giving you one for the bowl because it just that drives me mad.
It's Tony universal.
Robbins. I think it fits him. You can have that. Invent a food. I'm not giving you the vegan cheese. You can do one.
Why not?
The best movie ever. I'll let you have that. Although, yeah, no, I will. And the only smart you're having the cut grass. 4 out of 5. Well done.
I love quickfire because it makes you think about, like, it gets to the core of whatever it is. So if you put people under pressure, it's like the five whys. You know, we've done that before about, you know, why? Why do you think that? Why do you think that? Why do you think that? You get to actually the root cause of it. And quickfire does the same thing. Gun to your head, come on.
So something else I wanted to cover off with you, mate, was being an NED. So I know you've started to do that more.
Yes.
You are an NED.
Yes.
On the tools. Just for people who don't know what that is, it's a non-executive director. So yes, someone who sits on the board to advise, but they don't actually have equity within the business.
Yes.
That is basically the format of a NED.
So it's a really interesting role. So this came about because when I ventured into my own business and setting that up, I realised that guidance... Look, I'm passionate about seeking advice anyway and getting different perspective on things, because that's the whole thing about coaching, is you look at your gaps. So if you look at your gaps as a person, as a you know, an employee, as an entrepreneur, whatever those might be, then you try and fill those gaps either through training in terms of improving the way you do things or through bringing people in. So in your business, you're like, oh, I'm crap at accounts, so you bring an accountant in. You know, they're like, you're talking about organisationally speaking, I want to get better, so bring a PA in, somebody who's an expert in doing that. Well, when you think more holistically, then you think the same about your business. And I noticed when we started up our business, that's something we wanted really quickly. And it's and no surprise, obviously, we're going through that same journey about trying to find people as well. So we're on the lookout for really good people who are in that sector and fill our gaps in terms of what me and Dean, my business partner, don't have as expertise. So I thought to myself, well, I have a certain set of expertise that I think could be beneficial to other companies. And also, it's a brilliant way to get involved in a business and to be able to add value at the same time as and seeing the journey, just like you do on coaching, see that journey of growth without actually necessarily dedicating all the time, because we'd all love to be doing more, but you know, we've only got so many hours in the day. So the NED gives you that ability to be able to do that. So of course, you need a certain set of criteria and qualifications behind it. And I thought, well, a great way to start this would be to engage with some businesses that I'm familiar with. So that's obviously when I approached you and said, for mutually beneficial reasons, I think it would be great for me to sit on your board as an NED. And I think it would also be good for you guys to have NED roles within your board, because of obviously having a slightly different perspective and having an outsider's view on the way the business is run. So, yeah, it's been really interesting so far.
Do you think there's any negatives to come from an NED, having an NED on your board?
If you pick the wrong NED, I'm sure you can. I would, if you've done the skills gap analysis right and you've said we are missing this type of expertise in terms of our business, or we're missing, because I think what you're looking for when you're looking for an NED is you're looking for somebody who's bringing either a slightly different stand or is further along in their area of business than you might be. And then I think the chemistry needs to fit. I talked about chemistry before. It's not as simple as that, but they need to have the right personality fit within your business. So those that being on the inside of on the tools and dealing with the personalities, what you guys are is what you see. And that's fantastic. So there's no surprises there in terms of the energy and the passion and the fun and the creativity that just flows out of every meeting you ever have with you guys. So I knew when I was coming onto the board that I knew what I was getting. And I think you guys work with me enough to know what you're getting. So I suppose that's a challenge in terms of if you bring in anything, knowing them enough or having enough time with them to really get the sense of would they fit. The other thing is if they've got no experience. So if they've got nothing to add and you're just bringing people in for the sake of bringing people in. So, you know, it's whether it be paid or pro bono, there's got to be a commitment of time and effort that goes into it, preparation that comes, because you have an expectation as to what that role will bring. So I think having it set out at the start what the expectations are and what they can bring is will make that, I suppose, make that relationship far more fruitful on both sides.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, we've seen an uplift, definitely, I think, from board level, just of the structure. Because, you know, look at how our business was set up. It's set up by, like, five people who knew each other and very, very comfortable with each other, who've known each other for, like, a very long time. And, you know, I mean, it was only really up until probably about just over a year ago that we even started having board meetings. Yeah. Just, you know, bearing in mind that probably before that we were doing like, I don't know, like revenue of over like $500,000.
Yeah.
And we're still not meeting every month. And you think, what, you know, what are we playing at?
Yeah.
I can't imagine now not having, you know, like getting to a point where we just go, oh, we'll just sack them off again now. We'll just do one next year.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. I just wouldn't even think about it.
Yeah.
So I think we've seen a lot more structure come in place because we were probably pretty relaxed with how they were laying out and what we actually covered. And it was more about us meeting up and making sure that we're sticking to, you know, we've got the right feeling and everyone understands what's going on. Whereas actually, I think we've took a bit more of a turn now, and I think we're going to continue to do that of really making sure that they're quite efficient in terms of the finances and that side of it. I think and more like the management information and about, you know, what is good and what is bad and what should we be looking for and are there any trends and allowing people that. So no, it's interesting. And I think that, again, NEDs are something that people should look at. You're going through, I mean, no matter what stage your business is at, I guess, you know, like you said, you took yours early and...
Start earlier, because you build the structure in from the start and you're going to be in a much better position. It's so, most businesses, they'll flow into something because they've got an idea or they've got a sector that they want to focus on. All the focus when you first start off is, of course, on delivering whatever that end objective is. And this is about, okay, that's fine, but... If you're talking about acceleration of growth and the structure supporting you to be able to deliver those objectives faster, that's what a board will bring you, a properly formed board. It's not a tick in the box. It's not a where you sit there with, you put your ties on and you get your note taker in the corner and what. It's not like that. It's about...
That's what we used to do.
Yeah, I know. It's about delivering results and doing them better. So it's got to be something that's beneficial. And that's why, obviously, you guys have... I mean, very fortunate, and having been involved with a few different businesses in terms of the nature of the way you all operate is very aligned and very focused anyway. So yeah, it's good to be part of.
Good, I'm glad to hear that. So what's the future for Gav Mullally?
Well, it's, yeah, I like the fact that you said me and not the label. Thanks for that.
Yeah, good. Well, right.
The future for me.
It's because I'm a good listener.
You are a good listener. So. Well done. You could be a coach. Don't give yourself a hard time. Business wise, we've got a real agenda, a real social change agenda. So we want to get out there and we want to be part of ending homelessness. So we're not going to eradicate it completely, but we're really, really committed to making that experience better for people who've got to go through it. So we see it as like a four step. Start with literally, and if you was to use the analogy of, and I heard somebody speak at a Homes England event from YMCA, and it was really good, the analogy they used. They were talking about sort of, if you've got a really bad injury and go into the GP, you know, you go to A&E first, and we're at that stage where it's bleeding out. There's this is ridiculous figures, but 130,000 people in temporary accommodation, an 18% uplift December 2018 to December 2017 on children spending Christmas in a B&B. I mean, with
18%.
18% increase. From 17 to from 17 to 18, over 3,000 children in B&Bs, and this is an amazing country where there's so much opportunity, and we feel that we've got a model that can help to solve this. So we want to stop the bleeding. We want to be part of putting the hand on the wound and stopping the bleeding, and then be part of the solution. So our agenda there is big. So we want to get out and spread around the country in terms of helping to solve that frontline problem. So we're super passionate about that. And I don't see any reason why we shouldn't be able to do it. And part of that journey is from the advice we've received from you guys to start pushing on the social media side more. So really start engaging on social media, creating some content that raises the awareness of the issue and really gets it out there. And so expect to see in the sort of the coming weeks and months more content coming from us, talking about the issue, talking about what we feel are the solutions, and hopefully engaging more and more people into solving that problem.
I love it. And I think the thing is, those numbers hit home, and the problem will be throughout the country is that people don't even know the numbers.
3,000, so, over 3,500 people were, and this is families, so this is not individuals, registered as homeless in Birmingham last year. 3,500 people. And what people see is they see rough sleepers. So they see people on the streets, and that's the tip of the iceberg in terms of the people that are sofa surfing or in temporary accommodation or no place to call their home. And nobody out there who's got kids or anybody who's not got kids wants to think about people who don't know where their home is, who don't know where they live. If we think about our foundations, like, and we think back to our happiest memories, they're all come from a position of security and stability. And there's literally people on our doorstep that don't have that. And there's no reason why it shouldn't be that. I'm not talking about charity. I'm not talking about anything political. I'm just talking about purely looking at the problem and what is the solution we can do. And I'm not talking about taking it from A to Z, solving it in one go. I'm talking about the first line. I'm talking about making people's experience better, taking them out of B&Bs, taking them out of grotty temporary accommodation and putting them into a quality solution that gives them the ability to be able to change their lives. So I'm sorry, I'll just get off my soapbox. But
so it sounds like you're going for you should jump in for that PM race, mate.
no political comment.
That's it. So as part of this podcast, the whole reason, the only reason we set this podcast up was so that we could get either Jennifer Lawrence or Tom Hanks, either one or both, on the podcast. So our aim is to ask, our ask from each guest is to introduce another guest who can possibly get us one step closer to either Jennifer Lawrence or Tom Hanks.
I am the least well-connected person in the world when it comes to...
I disagree.
Oh, no, I am. live on this podcast, Lee, I'm struggling. And I know that it was on the pre-notes to say, you know, I'm very clear.
It's the only bit of prep you had to do, mate.
I'm very clear, but I've racked my very small, like, network of people, and my wife and my kids, they don't know them. So I feel like I've let you down. Like, I can see it in your eyes.
I thought, out of everyone, because there's a bit of prep for off, Gav's gonna come along here with someone. But it's
I thought
fine.
That might be the thing.
Look,
that
we can
drop.
Talk about it in coaching, don't worry. About how let down I am. But maybe you can have a good think about it even further and maybe come back to us with a
Why don't we start a movement? Movements make things happen. And the movement is Tom Hanks. Why Tom Hanks?
Because I just love Tom Hanks.
What's not to love about Tom Hanks?
There isn't anything. He's in The Green Mile. Plays a great part.
He does.
He's a great actor, isn't he?
He
just seems like a good guy.
Are you thinking too? You're trying to do it too directly. Is there not a back door into this?
There definitely is. Like, send him a Aston Villa typewriter. Apparently, the geezer collects typewriters obsessively. But it's too easy, isn't it?
That's too easy.
Yeah.
You think it's too easy to get in touch with Tom Hanks?
It's too direct.
Why are you asking me?
Well, because I feel like it's more fun if we can get our guests to get, you know, it's that whole, what is it, seven degrees?
Yeah, 7 degrees of,
You know, that's the route we're going down. But, you know, with people putting a lack of prepping like you have, then it sort of kills
I'm
it.
I'm good
but,
friends with Will Smith.
Oh, yeah, that's it. Yeah. I reckon he's good in. If you're good friends with Will Smith, I mean, he's in that world, isn't he?
So, I'll ask him.
Okay.
I'll see what he says.
See if he's on his Rubik's Cube. So. So there's a whip coin count up here, mate.
Okay, come on.
Hit me. Do you know what you've got? We haven't counted as we've gone along here because it's been a bit of a mess. But
5 million?
No, you haven't got 5 million. You've got 11.
11 million?
No, just a flat 11, which is pretty good. It's a pretty good score.
How does that rate to last season?
You'd be like mid-table.
Oh, you're joking.
Mate, you want to count your blessings for that. Joke of Jennifer Lawrence points. And Tom Hanks. You've lost some points there, mate. So 11 anyway. We'll stick him on the board.
Okay, thank you.
Gav Mullally, it's been an absolute pleasure. Couldn't have asked for a better guest. I love you very much. And I'll see you on Friday morning for coaching.
Yeah, you know it. I'm going to give you a real hard session.
I know, yeah. Good man.
Nice one.
Any plugs you want to make quickly for your LinkedIn and your Facebook and stuff? Maybe for LinkedIn, I know you're going to be hitting it hard.
Yeah, absolutely. If anybody knows of any councils or charities that I think might benefit from improvements in the housing quality or in a reduction in cost, then please connect with me on LinkedIn. That'd be great.
And it's Cornerstone
Partnership.
Cornerstone Partnership.
On the business coaching side as well. If you're interested in making a difference in your life and improving your overall productivity and fulfillment, then come see me.
Wow, he's got it off the tip of his tongue, hasn't he?
This, honestly, I don't prep, you know, mate.
Yeah, I know, listen to him. Right, I'm shutting this podcast down. Been a pleasure. Listen, look, we appreciate all the listeners, but what we really need is reviews. Hit some reviews, listen to some past podcasts and some of the great guests we've had on. We've got some wicked guests lined up. Am I allowed to name any of those guests, Jamie? No, he's shaking his head. But listen, we've got some really great CEO founders, one of which I know you will be really super excited about. I'm going to try and link that up as well. Yeah, some really great guests coming up. But leave us some reviews. Really important for us to get more listeners on the podcast. We want to make sure that people get some real value from me talking to basically people that I think are inspiring and that can help me in my business, and I'm sure they're going to be able to help lots of other people as well. So thanks for listening. We're going to now hit the theme tunes.